This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hi, and welcome to Soul Story Club. I'm Liz. I'm an actress, voiceover, and farmer.
Hello, I'm Helen, an actress, writer, and self-discovery coach.
This podcast is all about our guests that are sharing their self-discovery journeys. They're inspiring, they're incredible to listen to, and it's just fascinating hearing their transformations.
Each week we ask guests to bring their own cuppa, and we find that asking what cuppa and why is already a little bit of an insight into who they are and an icebreaker into sharing their story. Sometimes, like, having a cuppa with a friend and just sharing something about yourself means that you're heard, and that's all you need sometimes. It's not a case of you don't want a solution or to resolve it. There's just something about letting a weight off you by being heard.
This week's guest is Scott Thomas. Now, you might remember him from Love Island. I remember him from back in the day when he called himself Scotty Special, and he was running one of the biggest nights in Manchester. But he's so much more than that. He's one of the most inspiring people to talk to. He has completely reshaped his life. He runs some of the most successful businesses, like the Social PR, which is the fastest growing PR agency of influencers and celebrity marketing. He's also the co-founder of Food for Thoughts, and he has just launched his own podcast, Learning As I Go. He gives us such a great insight into his journey. He confesses he is addicted to self-discovery, which I think everybody should be. And I think he's an incredible example of how once you make that decision, you can absolutely change your life. We can't wait for you to hear this chat, and hopefully you will be inspired just as much as me and Helen were. Scott, we have been so excited to get you on as a guest. But as always, our question number one is, have you remembered your cuppa?
I did. I'm prepared. Can I show you what I brought?
Yes.
Right. So I brought two freshly squeezed juices that I get delivered to my house every week, right? And today, because it's a morning, I've decided to have my orange and carrot, I think it is. But I know you know that I do Food for Thoughts, and we say you can eat what you want, but at the same time, is I always want to top up my veg every day, so I always have one of these a day, so this is my drink for today.
You are the only guest we've had that's had their cuppa delivered.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay. Well, do you know what? It's just one of my coaches drops it off at my house, so it's quite easy.
Yeah. I thought Helen was posh, because Helen's like royalty.
I'm not.
She is posh.
I'm all about my juices as well, Scott, so... That's one of my favourite orange. Oh, what is it? Carrot, orange?
Orange and carrot's got all kinds in there. Bit of ginger in there,
oh,
everything, yeah.
I love a bit of ginger, bit of apple.
Good for the immune system.
That's why you look so fresh, Scott.
Yeah, he's glowing.
I've just got back off holiday, that's why. I've been away for 2 weeks.
Oh, of course you have. I've been stalking your Instagram.
A few people said to me that they muted me. The first week, everyone was really supportive. Oh, Scott, hope you have an amazing holiday, everything else. The second week, like nothing. Like every time I posted... It was just like no interaction. I was like, okay, people are pissed off now, so I'm going to go a bit quiet.
It did look the absolute dream.
Honestly, it was just probably the best holiday I've ever had.
Really?
Purely because it actually felt like a holiday. Like in the past when I've gone away, it's always been a lad's holiday. Mm. We go to Ibiza. They're not holidays. You come back needing a holiday.
Yeah.
Whereas this time I went away, I rested, I trained. I still went out, but only twice in 2 weeks, which is amazing for me. I just had a really balanced holiday, and that's something that I crave all the time, balance.
And was that a self-discovery holiday? Was that about you learning something about yourself, or was it just a relaxation?
100 million percent, like literally. I went away years ago. Well, I'll say years ago, about 2 years ago to Abu Dhabi on my own. I was in a bit of a dark place, and that's when I made the big decision to go teetotal that year, because basically around Christmas time, I made a big mistake at work. I got myself chucked out of one of my high-end clients' events, and I literally nearly lost my business over it. And I was in such a low place that I decided, right, I'm going to go away to Abu Dhabi on my own. And I was in such a bad place, but at the same time, is that time on my own was so sort of integral to starting my journey, because I had so much sort of perspective and clarity. And I've been craving to go away on my own for a while, but I didn't actually end up going on my own this time. I actually took Megan with me, my PA, for everyone who's asking.
Of course you did.
But... But at the same time, it meant that I had the freedom to do what I wanted to do and everything else. Yeah. But yeah, I've come back so sort of clear-minded. The vision's clear now. When you take a step back from work and business and life and everything else, you get such a good perspective. Yeah. And it's been a really eye-opening trip for me, 100%.
Well, Scott, I'm going to take you back first.
Okay.
I've had to write some notes down about you.
Okay.
Because...
I'm scared.
And I've not done this with any other guest, but when I think of you, certain words come to mind. Now, I've known you on the scene from our 20s. I know your family, but these words come to mind when I think of you.
Oh, God.
Driven, entrepreneur.
Amazing.
Innovative, gravitating, incredibly popular, genius.
Wow.
Humble.
She's carrying on.
Wow.
Successful. Ahead of the game and with an infectious energy.
Oh, amazing. Wow. Do you know what? I didn't really expect that then. I thought you were going to talk about the Scottish special days back in the day at my party. And
We're going to take...
We want to start from the beginning to realise how you've got to where you are.
But even when you were Scottish special, I still feel like those words come to mind. And we always do research on our guests. And when I follow your Instagram anyway, and I love all the videos that you post. And as you post them through the week, I might see the odd video. But this week I've looked at you in depth, back to back. And honestly, I was hooked, literally hooked on all the videos that you've posted. And I didn't want you to stop talking because you've now gone on this self-discovery journey and you're posting all these incredibly infectious, motivational posts. And even though I wasn't doing what you were saying, I felt better about myself.
Oh, just amazing.
Just listening to you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But I know that getting to that place hasn't come easy. There's a reason why you then have to make that change. So can you take us back to Scotty Special?
Of course.
Fresh out of education, still coming out with all these incredible business ideas and making things happen. But in your 20s, can you take us back to that, to those days?
Yeah, 100%. Before I do, though, I just want to say thank you because I was really humbled by what you just said then, because sometimes when I'm putting this stuff out to the universe, I know I'm going to be judged in some ways. Mm. And I know I've got to be a little bit brave because it can come across preachy. It can come across a little bit spiritual and a little bit hippie and everything else. And I was actually walking on my dog walk this week going, you know what, I'll put some stuff out there and it's quite far left and, well, whatever you want to call it. But I'm proud of it and I know it's going to help someone. So when you say stuff like that, it really means a lot to me because I am trying to do something a little bit different. I am trying to use my journey to help inspire other people. And that means breaking away from a lot of my past, which is what we'll talk about now. But I was always, I was the ultimate party boy. So it started off in school. Well, it didn't start off in school, sorry. I actually was in a completely different mindset in school. I was very sort of academic. I was an A-star student. I really loved studying. I literally would study for hours in my bedroom at home. I've got two brothers who were both pretty much class clowns and they were into performing and nearly getting expelled from school. But I was a little bit, to be honest, I was a little bit of the golden child in my family for the first sort of few years because I was the one who went to private school. Me and Adam went to different schools, everything else. And I was called a professor. I got a scholarship to William Hume Grammar School and then I went on to get a scholarship at University of Manchester. I got a degree in history and I was very much going down that route. But then I think, obviously, Ryan got his role in Coronation Street at the young age of 16 and then so did Adam in Water the Road at 16. So for me, I think I was a little bit confused. I was like, wait a second, I've been grafting my ass off all my life in school. These two have both been class clowns and like... got expelled from school nearly and they're both smashing it, making lots of money and I'm sat here going, what's going on? So, but I also think though, there's also that element within me where we're all performers. It comes from my dad. We were my dad's Dougettes, Dougie and the Dougettes. And we used to stand up all three of us in a line and perform together and do Aladdin. And obviously Adam and Ryan were always probably the leaders, but I was always there trying to give it my all. So I think there's always that element of the performer within me. But at the same time, I was just academic as well. I was good at it. So that's what I did. But when I got to university, I don't know if any of you guys have been to uni, but it's very much you just left to your own devices, right? There's no one sort of there to praise you and give you that recognition. And I'm all about recognition. In school, I did well because my teacher said, well done, you're amazing. My mum and dad and everyone said I was amazing. But when I got to uni, I was like, why am I doing this? No one cares. No one even know. No one in my family knows what. No one knows what a 2-1 is or a 2-2 or what. So why am I bothering? So then, literally through Ryan and Adam and their amazing network, I started going out to the Sugar Lounge and all that, meeting all these amazing people like yourself, Liz and Kelvin and everyone. Do you know what I mean? We had an amazing time, right? And
yeah, I was so great times.
I was so young, but I built up a massive network of all these cool people. And so one day, I just literally ended up helping a mate throw this party in Wilmslow. And this is while I was still at uni. In fact, no, I tell you, I graduated from uni. I was working at Boohoo, actually, as a buyer. This is where Boohoo first started, like, literally. Yeah, because I was good friends with Umar, so he got me a job with his dad, and I was working under his dad there. Like, literally, there was about a team of five at the time. That's when Boohoo first started. So I was working there in the sample room, and then I started throwing these parties on a Thursday night in Wilmslow with some of my pals just to see what we could do. And we did really well. And then it sort of died off a little bit. And then one of my pals just said, you know what, Scott, we're going to get rid of this other guy. We're going to bring you in and make this, and you can have a share this night. And then boom, right, straight away, I went, right, this is it. I'm going to make something of this. So I literally started throwing these parties every Thursday, and they just grew and grew to the point where, I don't know if you ever came this to Revolution on Wilmslow on a Thursday, but it just became the biggest Thursday night in Manchester. Like, everyone was...
Oh, yeah. How was that then, Scott? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Everyone was travelling from near. In fact, it was probably the best night, even to this day. Like, it was just an unbelievable crowd. All the footballers, all the celebs. It was the fittest girls you've ever seen. It was just an amazing time. And so I quickly left Boohoo because I started making good money. And it was really good money. Like, for a young guy at 21, like, I was making really good money. But the lifestyle was just crazy, right? So basically, for a living, after that, for the next 7-8 years, I believe it or not, because it's so far from who I am now. And I literally just... works one day a week. I threw one party a week every Thursday. We moved from Wilmslow to Manchester, and I was just a party boy. I'd wake up at midday. I'd literally do anything I want. I'd just live my life. But don't get me wrong, I worked hard to get people down there. But at certain points, I'm not going to lie, the night was just filling itself, and it was just constant bankroll and cash and everything else. And I just basically lived a bit of a rock star life for a while. But at the same time, I started drinking to excess to the point where, in order to be that Scotty special, the host, because I'm quite, honestly, believe it or not, I am actually quite shy. Like, I know it's hard to say that because I'm very sort of out there and confident in certain ways, but there's elements of me that is quite shy. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I ended up having to drink to excess to be this host and to entertain everyone. And whatever I do, I want to be the best at, right? So basically, if I was going to party, I was going to party like the hardest. Mm-hmm. I was going to party. I used to go missing for days and like literally... I just got into a really bad lifestyle. And even though I was making good money, even though I had all this recognition, I was a number one night in Manchester, I had all these contacts, I didn't feel fulfilled. Yeah. I felt lost. I felt really unhappy. People didn't see it. I'd wake up on a Friday morning crying my eyes out, like, what have I done last night? People think I'm someone I'm not. Like, people don't, do you know what I mean? People see Scotty Special dancing on the bar and with his top off and everything else. And there's an element where it was fun at first, but then I was like, wait a second, I'm a smart guy. Like, I've got so much more to sort of do. And I knew I needed to overcome drink. And then, sorry, am I just talking and on? Am I just keep, I just feel like
no.
I'm talking.
Listen, I'm hanging on your every word.
I can relate to so much of it as well. Yeah, please, we're listening to every word you say.
Yeah, good. Sorry, just to feel like sometimes I talk too much. But anyway, so I literally... partied for all these years, built up a massive network and everything else, but never really felt content. In my 20s, I never felt content. I had a good life, don't get me wrong, but my relationship to alcohol was just, I became a different person. And I still do now when I drink, and it's something I'm still working on, but I'll talk about that soon. But I just didn't like who I was, and I was like, so then I moved into business, and basically through the network that we built up at all these nights and these parties, the biggest turning block was when, I don't know if you remember the selfie sticks. Do you remember the selfie sticks?
Yeah.
So one of my friends, Tom Curl, you probably know, he basically bought a selfie stick out and he was like, oh, and everyone went crazy. It was so weird at the time, like, because it's so daft now, but these selfie sticks, everyone loved them, right? And so basically, long story short, we ended up getting together, me, Tom Curl, Umar from PLT, this is before the PLT, when it was just starting, and Scott Sashua from Control Club now. And we launched a selfie stick business, right? And basically, we had the same selfie sticks from as everyone else. We were getting them from China. But basically, what we did to make them different was we just packaged them differently and I got them out to all my celeb friends, because this is at the start of Instagram, mm-hmm. right? Where no one got paid. Mm-hmm. Everyone was just buzzing to have a free gift or free product. I would send out all these selfie sticks to all these Geordie Shawlar and all these different celebs with all these millions of followers, and they'd post it main page for nothing, right? An £8 selfie stick. Those were the days, right? I literally... We just created this number one brand, and we got the product into Selfridges, Harrods, Harvey Nicks, Costco, everywhere. And I think we turned over about 1.6 million the first year on selfie sticks. It was crazy. We had this big warehouse in Manchester at the end of it. And the nights were kind of dying down. I was doing less nights, but sort of doing a little bit of that. But what was amazing was I was using all of my network for my nights, right? Which I'm still using today. Like, these are high net worth individuals, football celebs, and it was... So that network that I built up was sort of invaluable, and I'm still using it to this day. Mm-hmm. And it helped me build the selfie sticks. Long story short, we then moved into the Air Runners because we had all these doors open with Costco and everyone else, mm-hmm. and the Segways came out. So we then said, right, we're going to put all our money from the selfie sticks into these Segways. And when I say to you, we had them in Selfridges. I was doing demonstrations around Selfridges, everything. We had some massive contracts. We were set to be millionaires off these deals. Oh, next thing, you saw what happened in the press when they all started blowing up. Not ours, but in general, the Segways, everyone just, they got cancelled, right?
Oh, wow. Actually blowing up?
Well, basically, yeah. Because no one got it right from China. They just weren't safe. The batteries weren't safe.
Right.
So anyway, we ended up liquidating that business. So we had this big sort of rise to sort of success, and then it quickly ended. And I was like, oh my God. Then I ended up going doing Love Island. And one thing that did come out of the selfie stick days was the social PR was formed in that same office, because people asking us, going, how did you do that with the selfie sticks? What did you do? Can you help me do it with my business? So we just launched the social PR as a small business. We launched Couture Club in that same warehouse as well, which is flying now. And then Tom Curl went off to do Pretty Little Thing, and I went off to do Love Island, and Couture Club went off to do their thing. And anyway, long story short, we went into businesses, and I did Love Island and sort of kept social PR alive when I was there and when I came out. But when I moved into business, my relationship to alcohol started to hold me back still, because going missing for 2 days when you only work one night a week for a party is all right. But when you've got responsibilities and businesses and everything else, I just couldn't shake it off. So literally I'd work all week in the office, do some amazing things, and everyone's like, you're amazing, blah. And then literally on a Thursday, I'd just go missing. I just vanish, and like, because I didn't have that sort of balance in my life. It was all or nothing, and it was pure escapism. And over time, I kept trying to deal with it and deal with it. And don't get me wrong, it became less of a problem over time. But when I did drink, it was almost like a bigger explosion. So it's like this self-sabotage mode. Like, it's like, so I'm straight on my game. Everything's going really well for me. But every time I did drink something, like, it would just be a big one. And I'd piss someone off or upset someone or let myself down. And I did a lot of that in my social life. And it was constant, like, you know, the next day when you wake up, guys, I'm sorry for last night.
Did you have that guilt feeling?
I was an idiot. But honestly, because I'm so far from who I am when I drink, it was really difficult to deal with because it just makes you feel really low. And over the years, I had this constant sort of... It beat into my mental health, because how am I to overcome that every weekend? And going, right, it's Monday, I'm going to go again, I'm going to get in the gym, this is the week. Yeah, and the one thing that I'm really proud about myself is that I never gave up on my potential. And I got to this point in life where I felt this underlying sense, like I had this voice inside me going, Scott, man, you are destined for big things, like you just need to overcome this. And I remember thinking, what I'm going through now, people need to hear. Like, no one in at my age, no one with this party boy background would ever, I've never heard them talking about. Like, I mean, when people talk about alcoholism and rehab, it's always like they've got an addiction and it's gone to the point where, like, they've had to stop or they've got to go into rehab. Whereas I was coming from a different angle. I was like, wait a second, I'm not necessarily addicted or anything else, but I know I'm holding myself back. And I know there's so many people, because every day, even now, like, all my friends, oh, I'm never drinking again. Oh, I hate myself. Oh, do you know what I mean? Why am I not here? Like, why am I not in shape? Why am I not achieving this? And all these different things. I was like, I said to myself, I need to be the voice of this. I feel like I need to talk about it. And even before I overcome it, I even filmed videos, but then I'd film videos talking about my journey, but then I'd go out again and mess it all up and go, oh, I'm not putting it out yet.
Until I've like perfected it.
And I've still not perfected it now, and that's why.
No, exactly. It doesn't ever happen, does it? You just start where you're at.
But when I made that one decision, I went, when I was in Abu Dhabi, I made that decision to go into, I walked into the into the ocean. I picked up this pebble and I was so low. Like I said, I made this big mistake at work and it was the first time it jeopardised my work. I was like, wait a second, I've built this amazing business and people are doubting me after one mistake. I went, this can't happen. So I walked out and said, right, I'm going to do 12 months sober. And it was different this time. When I said it, I meant it. That's why I held this pebble. I've still got a pebble upstairs now because to remind me of what I meant. And literally, guys, when I say to you in 2020, that year, when I went sober, wow, like, I've got tingles now, even talking about it, like my whole life just changed. And what I achieved that year was incredible. And that voice that I could hear within me was right, because I went on that year to achieve the best shape of my life. I ended up talking about my journey, inspiring so many people. I ended up taking over the social PR. Fran wanted to go a different direction and I was really scared because she ran the business. But because I was sober and had the strength to take it on, I now took that business on and went from 2 members of staff to now 12 members of staff, and we're doing incredible. And then not only that, I launched Food for Thoughts, which was literally just through my own journey and helping inspire people. And now we've got over, well, nearly 1,000 members. We've got 20 members of staff. We're looking for the next level of our investment. It's just gone to another level. And all these things happened in literally about 6 months of me just deciding to go teetotal, focus on myself. Don't get me wrong, it really helped that it was lockdown. So basically, when we went to lockdown 2020, everyone else was like, wow. I was like, buzzing. No temptations. I'm just going to...
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just going to focus on myself, right? So I was reading, I was training every day. I was eating well. I was working on my businesses. Like, I didn't need all the temptation. I didn't need all that. It was perfect for me. And literally, it's lockdown ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's what I want to know. Scott, how do you do that? Even in a lockdown, influences of other people that are like, come round for, you know, I know some people are having like secret parties or wherever. And if they're asking you to come out or have a drink, how do you say no to that when they think you're still this person that is up for a night out?
Oh, it's tough. Yeah, it was really tough. But I think that's why when people ask me about making that change, it does come down to that big decision, because then I became focused on not what I was missing out on, but what I was going to achieve. Rather than focus on what I was missing out on, it was that sort of, I know what I want to achieve. I know what I'm sort of capable of now. And don't get me wrong, it was really tough, like breaking away from the crowd. And a lot of my friends sort of doubted me and sort of, I lost them along the way. But it's funny now because they've all come over to my world now because they see, do you know what I mean? But there's also something really powerful about breaking away from the crowds. I remember a couple of times where I'd go to the restaurant and I'd go and have food with them, and then they all be going to the bar, and there was this moment inside me where I'm like, oh, I really want to go, really want to go, really want to go. But then I'd be like, I'd take that strength to get in my car, and as soon as I'm in my car and I'm driving home, I'm going buzzing. I'm like, I'm going to be fresh tomorrow. I'm going to feel like amazing. And it was something really empowering about breaking away from the crowd. Yeah. And it is lonely at first, but that was another thing that my therapist really told me to work on, because part of the reason why I was a Scottish special, why I did these parties, because I was really reliant on being around other people for my validation and my happiness. Where he said the biggest sort of superpower you're ever going to get is by being comfortable on your own, in your own skin. So I used to finish work and I'd drive home, and usually I'd go to my brothers or I'd go to some friends just to be around people. But so I used to have to force myself to drive home and just go home and spend time on my own. And it was really tough at first, because I was, especially when you're sober as well, you can't get away from your own thoughts, and you have to deal with a lot.
It's the stillness, isn't it? Everything comes up when you're still. It's like all your fears and everything that you truly think about yourself just rises to the surface.
100%. And do you know what? It was tough for the first few months. But then, honestly, guys, now I'm a little bit too comfortable on my own.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same. It's like you make that commitment to yourself and then you're like, this is actually really great. I'm just responsible for myself. And it does get a little bit comfortable. You then have to integrate into life. But then the amazing thing is that you've always got that commitment to yourself, and you've always have that a commitment to say, don't abandon yourself at the first opportunity to be so afraid to be by yourself that you're going to abandon your own journey to just fit in. And it's like, it's painful to do. And you know that step to actually make that commitment is the most courageous that you can ever do.
100%. There's just so much sort of self-awareness that you get out of it. And listen, I love being on my own now, to the point now, I'm not even joking, I've got my family and some of my close friends asking if I'm gay, because they just don't get it. They don't understand that. Literally, I'm addicted to self-development right now. I lost myself for 10 years in that game. Whereas now is I'm just trying to figure out who I am. Mm-hmm. And it's an ongoing process. And yeah, it's been a few years since I've been single, but I'm addicted to that. So I'm addicted to work on myself, find out who I am. And that will come at the right time. But right now is I've still got work to do. Mm-hmm. And it's a long process of getting back to who you are. And listen, I get it that if you find a right person, they will help you with that. But at the same time, I'm just in no rush.
Yeah, exactly. There's no rush for it, is there? And that's the thing. It's like we make a commitment to somebody else. We make a commitment to get to know somebody else. But I would say most, whether you're single, in a relationship, married or whatever, we don't make that commitment to ourselves. And that is the most important relationship that we have to work on. So it is, it's like, then when you make that commitment, you're like, okay, if I meet someone, they're going to enhance my life. They're not going to make me happy or bring me validation. They're just going to enhance what I already have. And it's 100%. So different. And that, like you say, you're not in a rush then to be like, oh, God, I need to desperately find someone so that people know that I'm normal or that I'm okay or that I'm worthy of love. It's like, no, I want a relationship to enhance my life, not to make it or for people to think I'm strange for being okay with being by myself.
Couldn't agree more. So that journey that year just literally sparked this whole sort of journey of self-development for me where I just become a little bit addicted to it. I'm like constantly looking at ways to improve, develop. I've got a coach for everything, guys. Like literally, I've got a business coach. I've got my nutri coach on Food for Thought. I've got a boxing coach. I've got yoga. I've got like I'm just always learning in different areas. I've got a presenter coach now who's helping me do stuff like this. And yeah, I just think there's some for me when people ask me about happiness. I feel like happiness comes through progression and not standing still. And that's kind of just where I'm at now. But at the same time is I'm always learning as well. Like I still make mistakes and I still don't have a great relationship with alcohol. I mean, it's a lot better. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't drink often and it will never be my lifestyle again. That's the biggest thing. When people ask me, go, so why did you do 12 months? I went, that was to break the cycle. So that 12 months was like, I've seen too much now. It was like having a limitless pill. I can't go back to that. There's no way I could ever go back to that lifestyle because I've seen too much. Like, there's no way. Whereas I felt like I went a little bit too far left by doing the 12 months. And I just want to find that middle ground. Balance is something that's so important for me. So I refuse to be the guy who ever goes, oh, he don't drink, he's sober. And not because I think there's anything wrong with that. I just think it puts you in a bit of a box. And for me, I just want to be like, no, if I want to have a drink, I can have a drink. And so listen, there's some days when I go out and I go, you know what, I've had a couple of drinks, I'm going on. There's other days where I go, oh my God, I've took it too far again. And I have to deal with that and learn from it. But that's why my own podcast I've just launched today is called Learning As I Go. I'm not saying that I'm there. I've not reached my destination. I've still got work to do. And I think even the stuff with Will Smith that happened the other night, it just shows that not everyone is perfect. And even people who live sort of these, like, I don't know, perfect lives, so to speak. And like Will Smith, he has been a role model for so many years. And I'm not saying what he did was right in any way, but at the same time, it does just show that for me, it was like, you know what? He's not perfect. And I did put him on a pedestal and I did. And I think it's really important to have that relationship with ourselves as well. And I think one thing that I'm really focused on as well is that because I do go 100 miles an hour and I am like super motivated, that sometimes I can burn out as well, which because I let down that balance in my life. So I think I literally have to say to myself that every minute of every day I have to be productive. I can't waste any time. If I'm watching something on TV, it has to be a documentary. Like, do you know what I mean? Because it's like, that's where my mindset's at. Whereas now I'm just trying to go, wait a second, Scott, come on, let's slow down. Like, let's enjoy the process a lot more. I'm taking a step back from some areas of my businesses that I don't like doing, that I've been forced into, because this holiday when I've been away has really been so reflective for me about thinking what makes me happy, like what makes me feel alive. And I think doing stuff like this, like I think my calling in life is sharing my journey to other people and helping them on theirs. And it might sound cheesy, but it's kind of reciprocal. Like I work on myself, yet through working on myself, I'm helping other people. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So they're getting something out of it. I'm getting something out of it. This has got to be my calling in life. And that's what makes me happiest. But instead, I'm like sometimes sat in these finance meetings with my businesses and I'm like trying to be this entrepreneur, trying to be this guy. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Like that doesn't make me feel fulfilled. That ends up me burning out. And it doesn't mean I haven't got value to my businesses. I have in different ways. But I'm really trying now to sort of pull away from areas of my life that don't make me feel happy on a day-to-day basis, don't make me feel fulfilled. And instead of putting happiness on the other side of, like for me as well, is I'm still trying to work out my ego as well because I feel like I'm motivated a lot by my ego. like in terms of, I need to have 10 million quid in the bank. I need to get this target and then I'll be happy. I need to have this car. Then I'll be, and I'm like, whoa. Like when I actually wrote down the things that make me happy in life, it's just simple things like taking my dog for a walk. Literally playing TikToks with my nephew and nieces, reading a good book and just having a bit of chill time. None of it costs money. Like it doesn't really cost money. It's like, so why do I need all this wealth? And don't get me wrong, I want to achieve those things because I feel like I've got the potential to. I feel like it's just, but it's not going to be, it's not the be all and end all of my journey, if that makes sense.
You know, when I was trying to get into this kind of self-discovery and working things out, you feel like it's a very selfish thing to do. But actually, everyone that's been on these self-discovery journeys are helping other people. It's the most selfless thing that you can actually do in the end, isn't it? And with you, Scott, you know, the fact that you get such a great feeling about of helping other people and that makes you feel better, your own self-discovery is for everyone else as well. It's just... It's not a selfish trait. It's not you just running away saying, this is what I want. I'm only going to do what I want. It helps everyone. It benefits everybody.
Yeah, so that brings me back to something that Kate Cocker taught me. She's my presenter coach, but she's also got her own podcast called Everyday Positivity. And she just said, it's not selfish, it's self-full. Stop using that word, because selfish has got like negative connotations and everything else. Yeah. But if you say self-full, because you're doing something for you, but at the same time, it, like you said, it knocks onto everyone around you. Like the more happier you are, it just literally impacts those closest to you and just everyone, really.
Yeah. And it is that it's the whole when you're on a plane and you have to put the mask on yourself first. Yes. It's like you have to look after yourself and see to your needs first. And actually, you know, I'm a people pleaser, recovering people pleaser, and I tend to do this overgiving, and actually that ends up in resentment because you're overgiving, and it's like you have to start with yourself because then you're full to then give out to other people and help other people, but it has to start with yourself.
That's a good point, being a people pleaser, because you've got to remember, so I'm always trying to get to the root of the problem now. So if I'm feeling a certain type of way, like it's about being with that emotion. I'll give you a perfect example. This weekend, so I've come back from holiday, I'm like fresh from training, I'm not going out, anything else. As soon as the sun comes out, I see everyone's out. I'm like, so I'm literally, I've had a beautiful morning, I've trained, I'm sat in my house, I'm young, going, right, why am I not going out? I'm a young single lad. Do you know what I mean? I can do whatever I want. Why am I not going out tonight? But then I was thinking about drinking. I was like, do you know what? Why am I thinking about drinking? So I tried to dissect. I went, you know what? I'm actually probably feeling a little bit lonely. So tonight, today, in this moment right now, I'm feeling a little bit lonely, like I need people's attention and I need a bit of love. And that's why I'm thinking about drinking. So it wasn't the drink. Yes. And I dissected it. I went, it's not about the drink. It's about how I'm feeling that. And I said, that will pass tomorrow.
Yeah.
I said, I sort of, instead, like an old man, I ran a bath and listened to a positive podcast. And next thing, I was had a new sense of, like, do you know what I mean? And also, I've been fresh for this week now. So like, I've had such a big week for everything. I just analysed it all, and it's interesting getting to the root of the problem rather than just being surface level.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said before about being a people pleaser, so it all stems back to throwing parties for a living. Mm-hmm. Basically, I didn't get paid if people didn't come to my nights, right?
Yeah.
So literally, I had to let people in even if I didn't like them. I had to be like loved by everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, I wasn't successful at what I did.
Yeah.
And that then sort of transfers into Love Island and then being an influencer, because you've got to, do you know what I mean? And then even in PR, like it's very much a people business based on relationships. So it's hard to sort of separate who you are from what you do. And that's the bit that I've been working on, going, right, so if I put a post out on social media and it doesn't get that much engagement, not many likes, that's not a reflection of me, like who I am. I need to be comfortable and confident in my own skin. And that's just something what I do. And it's that, and again, I post everything on social media every single day. It's something that I need to stop doing, because it's like I'm always like, I realised it recently, I'm always trying to prove to people that I'm busy, that I'm doing stuff, I'm doing, because that, and that goes back to my transition from being a party boy, knowing that I should be doing more and I should be, people are doubting me, to then, and you know what, there's an element of me that I needed to do that over the years to be sort of that transition and show people, but listen, I'm there now. I don't need to be proving to everyone that. So it's, again, it's just awareness.
How do you switch off with that, Scott? Because I feel like you've looked at every single angle of your life, but how do you switch off from that? Because with phones now, they're like our laptops, we're on call 24/7. I can be in that sometimes. And with kids, I have to be really conscious to move my phone away so that I'm not on it in front of them. But what's your, if you could advise anyone that's kind of at this stage that you're at and trying to be successful and finding their way, how do you also switch off? What do you do?
Do you know what? This is something that I really, really struggle with. And the phone, I've actually ordered a book the other day, well, the other month, called How to Break Up With Your Phone, because that's how much of an issue it is. In fact, I think on one of my phones here, I've got, in fact, yeah, I have.
On one of my phones? How many have you got?
I've got two phones, a personal phone and a business phone. But basically on this phone here, it's got a cracked screen, but the book tells you to write something on your cover screen to stop you from picking up your phone. And I wrote, I want to have a healthy relationship to my phone. I want to have boundaries so I can be more present and enjoy life. I want to be able to switch off from work and give myself more time to focus on me. I want to focus more on what makes me happy and not be driven by other people all the time. I want to improve productivity and restore some balance. That's what's written on my phone. Nice. It's not working. It's not worked yet.
You have to keep it fresh, don't you? Because you can see something and it loses that kind of grip, doesn't it? You're like, oh, I've got to keep this fresh now.
Do you know what? I think like little things like you don't have to post every single part of your day or anything like that. It's just about having boundaries. Like social media is great, right? For so many different reasons, for speaking to people, inspiring people, connecting for your business, everything. But it's just it can take over. And I think for me now, I'm just setting little rules for myself. So I don't check my phone until after I trained in the morning, right? So I wake up at 5, I don't check it till after 8. I try and get off it from 8 p.m. onwards. Again, it doesn't happen all the time, especially when you're launching stuff and everything else. But yeah, it's an ongoing thing, but I do generally feel like social media and our phones is a big, big problem. And I think when we see the rise of mental health issues, I think a lot of it's related to that because we're not meant to be as connected as we are. We're not, it's like basically, someone said to me the other day, having WhatsApp is like having your front door open, like where anyone can knock on at any point. Anyone can knock on. Yeah, it shouldn't be that way. And especially checking out when you first wake up in the morning. So yeah, it's just about having boundaries and having that disconnect. And I'm still working on it. I know I'm going to achieve it, but that's one of my biggest goals. When I write down my goals, have a healthier relationship to my phone. But again, it comes down to the need to not be driven by other people, not to be driven by that and being comfortable in your own skin. But I think the first stage is being aware of it. And I think a lot of people got that. Like, in terms of the amount of time and people spending on it, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that is that's going to be a big sort of task for us all to solve as a human race, I think, in order, because I just think it's definitely affecting people's mental health. And comparing, like, I mean, I have a great life, right? I'm blessed. I have a beautiful home and business. But I'm comparing myself to, like, billionaires and do you know what I mean? And it's like, you can't do that. And you could be having, it's like Saturday when I was having a beautiful day with my dog and everything else, but as soon as I went on social media, so everyone in these beer gardens and barbecues and it was making
just
me
want to be doing that.
And it's just something that we just need to sort of tackle.
Yeah. And you can't compare how you're feeling inside to someone's external of what they're putting up on Instagram. And it is an addiction to put like the best of what your day is. As long as we realise that actually 2 minutes after putting down that post, they might be crying in a corner or something. Like they might not be feeling great. Like, and we were talking before, it was like, it's not a case of anymore. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. It's we don't know what goes on behind Instagram now. It's not the closed doors, is it? It's actually Instagram. We don't know. And, you know, we've got the right to put whatever we want up as long as it's not harmful. But at the same time, don't take that surface level of like their life is perfect and everything's going great. Like we're all human. We all have flaws and failures and foolishness.
Your Instagram is just the best version of you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a highlight reel. And that's why I really try to share the highs and the lows. If I'm having a bad day, sometimes I just want to jump on and go, guys, I'm just being honest with you, I've had a crap day today. And like, because I hate when people say to me, Scott, you're so positive all the time. Like, trust me, I'm not. Like, don't get me wrong, I put out a lot of positivity to the universe because I feel like I'll get it back. And it's an ongoing process where I'm working on being positive every day, but I'm not. And I feel like it's so important for me to share that as well, because I have like dark days, I have low days, I have days when I can't be arsed. And I think that's normal. But at the same time, also putting out, sometimes when I'm putting this stuff out to the universe, I end up, there's two things about it. One thing, it makes me feel accountable, so which is a good thing in so many ways, because it's like, being part of Food for Thoughts and having all these members who look up to me and being part of this lifestyle, it keeps me accountable, right? So, and I love that. But there's also days when I feel like I might let, I'm not letting myself down, but letting the idea of myself down. And it's hard because I want to be authentic in everything I do, especially on my social media and everything else. But people's perception of you does not define you as well. And I think it's just, it's okay not to live up to their sort of expectations all the time. And I was listening to Stephen Bartlett the other day on his podcast. It made me laugh. And he said, people think because he's so successful that he's up at, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I get up really early because I'm just in this mode. But he's like, people think I wake up at 4 a.m. and I'm doing this and doing that. He said, I don't wake up till 12. And I'm like, it made me eye up. And I was like, you know what, fair play. He's like, he said, I don't have a green juice. I don't do anything. I was like, fair play to him. Like, because these, when you look at these ideas of successful people and, it's like you have that they can become kind of like one dimensional when we just need to just be sort of, and I think it's really important for people like ourselves to use our platforms to show that real side as well. And if you're having a crap day, yeah. I mean, at the same time, it's not many people want to know about your crap days, people, but I think it does help.
But it does show the humor. And, you know, I watched one of your videos actually, Scott, and you are so upbeat. You've got so much energy. And on one of your videos, you said, do you know what, actually, today I don't feel like being upbeat. I actually feel a bit nervous doing this today. And I don't feel like I want to bring this energy. And there was such, first of all, there was such a human connection. And then there was such a relief in me to be like, you know, because I want to keep sharing my story and my own coaching and stuff like that. But I am a little bit shy about it. And then hearing your complete honesty, it brings this kind of right release in you that you're like, oh God, you don't need to have it all the time. It's like some days you don't feel like that. And actually that slice of truth is so refreshing to hear the human behind the post or the Instagram. It's so refreshing to hear that. And that was so helpful for you to share that.
I appreciate it. Do you know what? That was actually one of my best performing lives, so to speak. But and because usually when I come on, I go into performance mode sometimes, like where I want to bring the energy. So I come on, the music's on, I'm like getting, and I went, do you know what? Like, I was thinking about myself. I was thinking, I've not got the energy to do that tonight. And I just thought, but I've got a responsibility that I said I was going to do what I'm going to do. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to come on and just be me. And that's how I felt in the time. And it, do you know what? It was difficult for me. It was hard to speak on that level and speak on that. And that's the bit where I say about me being shy. Like, there's elements of where being the real me and that sort of authentic me, which I'm still trying to figure out who that is difficult for me because I've masked it for years. I've masked it through being, through being Ryan's brother for years. Do you got to remember, I didn't do Love Island until I was 27. So you got to remember, that's a long period of time to be unfamous, so to speak, with no fault. Do you know what I mean? I was always the brother taking the pictures. I was always, do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, but, and by the way, I'm not in any way resenting that, because my brother's always made me feel special and always part of that. But when I'm looking back and dissecting how I feel and what I'm going through, I think, right, there's all these little insecurities and all these little things where you felt like you had to be louder. You felt you had to be the party boy. You had to know this person, that person to compete. And so it's now just going, you know what? Let's strip all that back. I'm all right with who I am. Yeah. And figuring out who I am.
And I can understand that, you know, it's getting lost in society and of expectations of what you think people want from you, than actually having the bravery to be, that's not who I am. But then it's like, then starting from, actually, who am I? Like, you know, you think like, I want to express who I am. But who am I? Because I've been so lost in what I think people want from me that I have to just start there to actually get to almost date yourself, to like start realizing what music you like, what you like, what your hobbies are, and just starting on such a simple level of getting to know yourself and who you are.
Yeah, and it's when people say over the years, do what makes you happy and you'll never work a day in your life. And I'm like, really? Like, I the idea of it, I'm like, I wake up stressed out of my box every morning. Like,
got loads to do.
I'm overwhelmed. But then the more I think about it, like, it's actually true. Yeah. Like, if you literally lean into what makes you happiest the most, you'll end up, all right, it might take a financial sacrifice at first or the sacrifice of the judgment of people around you. But I genuinely believe if you focus on what makes you happy, it takes a lot of reflection and time to do that. But I feel like nothing but good things will come from it, because you'll be happier, you'll be flying, and it'll become natural to you. And I think I just read a book by Jay Shetty called Think Like a Monk, and it was an amazing book. It came just at the right time for me, and he talks about finding your purpose and he calls it your dharma, and it's all about being in service to others, like, but also doing what makes you happy, but it also needs to be in service to others. And that's how I'm like, wait a second, I figured out what it is, like, motivating people, inspiring people, like, working on myself, that my journey, like, my personal brand that I'm working on now, developing all this kind of stuff, and then food for thought, like, it all goes hand in hand. And so yeah, I just feel like I'm a bit of a, having a bit of a spiritual awakening, so to speak, in terms of that, and it's took me a long time to do it.
And you're still young, you know, what did you say, you're 33? That's still young to have, because I think like in our 20s, 30s is when we're figuring it out, fitting into society. But then it's not until like our later years that we do start getting reflective. And that's either that something's forced on us, whether it's an illness, an accident, or something, you know, business failing to make us wake up, or whether that's just something that we learn, read books, or however that comes about.
That's really interesting, because I actually put a post out saying, it's our darkest moments often that can lead us to our most defining moments. And like, honestly, that one mistake I made at that work event, even though it took me to probably one of my darkest places, I wouldn't change it now for the world, because look what it did, look what happened.
It set you free.
Yeah, it's such an important message to put out there as well for anyone who's feeling low or dark. I always say, like, use that pain to drive forward, use it to sort of keep that momentum.
I do want to ask you, Scott, because we will definitely get a lot of questions on this. With you saying you've now got a coach for everything, at what point did you think, I'm going to get a therapist? I know you've got your podcast out. Mm-hmm. And is it Gareth?
Yes, Gareth, yeah.
Is he your therapist?
Yes.
So at what point in this journey did you think, I need someone else? Because this is what we get asked a lot on Instagram as, what is a life coach? Mm-hmm. What is a therapist? What's the difference? And how do you have something every week that you talk about? What if it's just a one-off? What was it for you where you thought that I need that and I'm going to make the move to have one?
Well, first of all, with a little subtle plug, basically this is exactly what I talk about on my episode of Learning As I Go.
Plug away.
I'm sure it's going to be really helpful for people.
It's literally just gone live today. And do you know what, guys? Even now, I sort of have this underlying sense of being a little bit uncomfortable talking about therapy, because it's kind of a little bit taboo. There's a bit of stigma around it. But again, there's something in me as well where I don't really have a problem as well. Like, I don't know if it's a skill or a quality that I have where I do wear my heart on my sleeve, and I've always been quite open and honest about therapy, and even to the point where I know people going, like, I always worried about what would my clients think, because people go, oh, he's got a therapist, there must be something wrong with him. But for me, it wasn't that. Like, I always say that you don't have to be depressed, you don't have to be suicidal or anything to go and see a therapist. I think it's more about I've tried everything you can in your power to make some changes, but you keep hitting a brick wall and you feel like you've not got the answers to what's going on in your head. And I think that's where I was at. I was like, why do I keep self-sabotaging? Why? I didn't have the answers. Just ran out of answers, literally over and over again doing the same thing. And there is something so powerful about going into a room with a complete stranger, especially someone who's got just an unbelievable skill to sort of give you a completely new perspective and clarity. And honestly, I went from seeing him once a week to once every 2 weeks, and now to just once a month. And he'll always be part of my life, because having that, I actually saw him yesterday, literally went and saw him yesterday, and we just had, and it must be amazing for him to see the progress in me. I mean, I used to not turn up to his sessions because I'd go missing but it wasn't until I really committed to it, and that's when I saw the changes. But yeah, he just honestly gives you that new perspective. And sometimes when you are trapped in this sort of cycle of your own thoughts, it takes someone like that, and not your family, not your friends, because sometimes that can be, I mean, they can play a part 100%, but sometimes that can be a little bit uncomfortable for people. But this is just like you being unapologetically you, sort of no judgment. What goes on in that room stays in that room. You can unload, and it's just an amazing feeling. Like I said, you don't have to be depressed. You just want to sort of work on yourself. And for me, there's nothing more, especially for guys, there's nothing more manly than having the courage to work on yourself. Like, if anyone says, oh, what do you know what I mean? Why are you getting help? It's like, because I want to take care of myself. I want to love myself. I want to look after myself.
That's where the bravery's at as well, isn't it? It feels like it's so brave to keep it in and keep going. And it's like, no, it takes real courage and bravery to ask for help and then follow it through and go and get it.
100%. But I can't recommend it enough, guys. And Gareth's a great one. It's called Men Should Talk. on Instagram, and he sees women as well. I've sent him so many people, literally, like, and it's just the best feeling ever. Everyone's just like, oh, you've changed my life, and he's changed my life, and it's just amazing. It's amazing to see.
Tell us about your podcast, Scott.
My podcast is literally, my business coach wasn't too happy with the name. I said, it's called Learning As I Go. He went, it's a bit basic. I went, well, that's what I'm doing. And it just...
the point. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. but yeah, it's literally anyone who's come into my life who's made an impact or I've learned something from. And I don't necessarily want it to be all about celebs and like my network or anything like that. I want it to be just about genuine people with genuine stories. So for example, my first guest is Gareth, my therapist. My second one is David Poxon, who's my business coach, who's just made an integral part in my journey. I've learned so much from him. I've got people like Commando Charlie, who's one of our fitness coaches at Food for Thoughts, and he's basically a reformed character. He got locked up for drugs many years ago, did serve 5 years in prison, but he's come out now, he's just completely turned his life around, now he's changed other people's lives. And it's just all about anyone who's been through something, got a genuine story, or anyone I've learned something from. And yeah, I just want it to be part of, like I said, it's literally, I'm not saying that I don't want it to be preachy, I'm not saying I'm at my destination, it's about me sharing what I learn as I go, and hopefully other people can get some lessons from it too.
Love that.
Scott, I really do wish you all the luck in the world because you are... I could listen to you all day, every day. Please don't stop posting on Instagram, because you just have something incredible to say every day, and listening to you, it fills me with a smile and happiness and makes me want to just go out. And it's grey and raining today, but I want to go out and just face the day, because you are just so, your energy and what you're saying, it's just so real and human, that you can have good days, you can have bad days. We just got to go with it, haven't we? And find ourselves and work it out.
We look forward to watching your journey and listening to your podcast. Like, you share so many insightful and inspiring things. It's really, truly amazing. You're such an old soul as well. You do wear your heart on your sleeve, and it's lovely to see.
Yeah, thank you guys. And you guys keep doing what you're doing as well. It's incredible. And I just feel privileged for you to ask me to be on here. So thank you.
Listen, we've loved having you as a guest. Where can we hear your podcast? Is it on all areas?
It's on all platforms, if you go to my Instagram at scott.thomas as well, you'll see everything on there.
Brilliant. Scott, thanks, man. You've been an amazing guest.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Soul Story Club. We really hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so it will automatically download onto your phone when there's a new episode. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Soul Story Club.